afternoon and welcome. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. I am Kim Arellano, your host. I'm really excited today because we have some very special guests. As some of you may or may not remember, my business focuses on generational challenges and differences in the workplace. And today's show is going to be all about millennials. And we've got some really exciting things that are coming up and some really exciting programs that are being done. But I'm very, very impressed with this group that we're seeing in Issaquah, and we're going to be talking a little bit more with them. But first, we want to say hello to Mike, our producer today. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing pretty good. It's not looking so hot outside.
What happened?
We were doing so good.
Oh, my gosh. It was a beautiful weekend, though, right?
Yeah, it was great.
It looks like
Eric chose the right weekend to get out of Dodge.
Where is he?
I'm not sure exactly.
Is he not telling us? But somewhere else.
Yeah. Just not here. Not here.
Well, I was looking at a map today, and they were showing a map of the United States, and they showed that, you know, most of the country is in a heat wave. In fact, all of the country is in a heat wave.
Yeah.
And you look at Washington, and we're the only one that's not. I mean, even Oregon has above higher than normal temperatures, but not Washington. We were the only little blue there. Would that come from your post?
Yeah.
I'm looking at Audrey. So we have Audrey Slade with us here today. I'm looking at her, and she's going, yeah, that's me. Because, you know, social media is our thing these days. But, yeah.
I think we will appreciate this lousy weather in the summertime. I just have a feeling.
You think so?
Because snowpack is good,
mm-hmm.
which is important.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to be just miserable everywhere else. Hot,
you think
humid.
So?
Yeah.
But we're going to be fine.
I think we'll be just fine.
Okay, well, you know what?
In fact, I have this feeling that we're actually going to have a really good summer this year. As opposed to last year, because we didn't get one last year.
No, it was a horrible summer last year.
So let's think positive.
We will think positive. Yes, absolutely positive thoughts for everybody out there. But certainly hope that you had an opportunity to get out and enjoy. I brushed my horses and cleaned paddocks, and my husband got fencing going. And so it was a real farm period for us this weekend. So that always feels good to get the barn work done.
Yeah, now you got a break, right?
Now we got a break.
Because it's supposed to be, from what I understand, last time I checked, it's supposed to be nice again come weekend.
Oh, perfect. Excellent. Well, then we'll go riding. Now that everything, all the chores are done,
we can actually go riding.
Yeah, awesome. Well, on today's show, we're going to talk about millennials and specifically millennials in business. And I asked two guests to join me today to talk about this. They are Nathan Perea and Audrey Slade. Nathan is with the Issaquah Chamber of Commerce. And Audrey is a member and her organization, Meadow Creek Business Center, which some of you may remember from last week when we announced is the location of my brand spanking new office. And just also a reminder that on the 17th of April, I'm going to be having another class at that location. So check our Facebook page and we'll get you that information. But I have been lucky enough to be a part of this wonderful new group that has just started as an offshoot of the Chamber of Commerce, or under Nathan can explain exactly how that all fits. But it's the Young Issaquah Professional Group, and what they're doing out there is really fantastic. But I want to take any of their thunder. Welcome, Audrey.
Thank you.
And welcome, Nathan.
Thanks, Kim. Thanks for having me.
You bet. So, Nathan, let's start with you first. So, you've been with the Issaquah Chamber for how long now?
Coming up on just about a year now.
And what's your responsibility out there?
I'm the Director of Membership Development, and mm-hmm. so I spend most of my time getting to know our members, figuring out what they're looking for, who they need to know, how to help them connect, how to help them grow their business, and really understand how they fit into the local fabric out in Issaquah.
Mm-hmm. How long have you lived in that area?
I actually grew up in Issaquah. I moved there in 1986 and spent most of my childhood out there. And after college, moved back with my family. And I've been there again now since 2006. So it's home for me.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
I left in 88 from my hometown in Snoqualmie and came back 10 years later, too. So I know kind of what you're talking about when you come back after traveling a little bit and you see your community in a different perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as a kid, you run around and you take for granted all the things that you have, and you just you think that they just happen. And then when you come back as an adult with family, with children, you look around and you realize how important it is to maintain that local fabric and make sure that what you have in your backyard stays there, and that we continue to foster it.
So you're with the chamber and you are persuading or explaining or saying, hey, you know what? We need a young professional group. Why? What kind of caused that thought process for you?
Well, there were a couple of reasons. One is when we look at our chamber membership, we have about 520 members within the Chamber of Commerce. We realize that, especially in today's economy, we need to get more targeted with the groups that we're putting together and helping them reach the people that they need to reach. And a lot of that goes together with resonating with different groups. So there are some folks that have been in business a long time, and they may have ways of doing business that have worked for them. And then there's another generation coming up that are just getting involved in business or going on their own, or they're becoming entrepreneurs, and they have a totally different way of approaching business. And so it's nice to get those folks in the same room so they can talk about things that are common to them, common interests and ways in which they approach business.
Mm-hmm. And so you said, we're going to start this group, and then what happened?
I put the group together, and I realized I needed a strong chairperson. And I needed someone to kind of lead the group and bring in some experience. And I happened to meet Audrey here, which by random coincidence, we were having a conversation one day, and I mentioned this concept. And she said, oh, my gosh, I just moved here from Maine, and we used to do something over there that was very similar and became very successful. And I think I grabbed her and had her sign a contract right there on the spot, because I wanted her expertise and her energy and her enthusiasm to lead this group. And I handed her the ball, and she's just run with it.
So, Audrey, you're from Maine.
I'm from Maine.
And so tell us a little bit about Maine.
Well, I grew up there. I did the, you know, I lived there, and then I went and I graduated high school, and I decided I need to get out. And so I did the same thing that you guys did, and then I went back to Maine, because that's just kind of what people do. I'm from Bangor, Maine, which is central. I grew up in Old Town, maker of canoes. I actually have plenty of people back home that are listening right now. So, hey, guys, I hope you're enjoying dinner. It's 6 o'clock there.
Hopefully they're having whoopie pies by now.
Right? Whoopie pies. Let me tell you all about whoopie pies.
Did you get the whoopie pies that she baked for you?
I did.
So Nathan just had a baby. Well, his wife had a baby, and Nathan was there with him. And so Audrey made him whoopie pies. And I happened to be there when she brought them in. So you missed the, you know, fresh hour baked.
Oh, yes.
Oh my gosh, I've never experienced anything like that before.
No, they're phenomenal, and most of them have been eaten, and some of them have been frozen.
That's right, because you can freeze them.
You can freeze whoopie pies.
So whoopie pies are a Maine thing, right?
Whoopie pies, they're a very New England, very Maine thing, and everybody's grandmother makes the best one. Of course, my grandmother legitimately makes the best ones,
right,
if you ask me. But they are two chocolate cakes with a nice thick frosting in the middle. They're starting to kind of make their way out here, but
I've seen them, but not a real one. No, what you made was tremendous.
Yeah.
We might have to have you put, you can't put the grandma's recipe on.
Oh, sure, I can.
People need to,
come on. Everybody shares things like whoopie pie recipes, especially when it's the best one. So I put it out.
How much is Maine like Washington? I mean, we think we're on the same parallel, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you would think that they're very similar, but
a lot of ways it is very similar. I can tell you the winter is much different. You know, you were just talking about the heat waves, and my parents actually came for a visit a couple of weeks ago, and they happened to show up on like the most miserable weekend ever, where there was hail and snow and just everything. And Maine happened to have this weird random 80 degree heat wave, and that never happens ever. But usually by this time of year, we still have a couple feet of standing snow, and we'll still have a couple of snowstorms maybe, but usually by this time they kind of go away quickly. But that's just, you know, the weather. As for the people, it's a little bit more salty out there, but in the most delightful way. You can never imagine a group of people who would do more for a community. And that's what I grew up in, was, you know, neighbors helping neighbors and going out of your way to do that.
The only thing I know about Maine is what I learned out of Stephen King novels. So.
God, don't. My house, we still have it, is only a block away from Stephen King's house.
Wow.
And I can guarantee you, at any given time, if you drive down West Broadway, there is at least one car. There's always one car outside of Stephen King's house taking a picture.
Wow.
And if you were to see him just walking around the city, you would never guess. Like, you just look really, wait, that's him? Oh. Okay.
Very unassuming, but a sick mind nonetheless.
But one of the most, he is such a great supporter of Little League out there. I mean, I'm telling you, like, you think the guy who wrote Carrie and all these, like, terrifying stories, you know, would be this, you know, scary, scary fellow, and he's not. He and his wife, Tabitha, are not only, you know, terrific people, but they do an immense amount of stuff for the community.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, good. Well, I shall visit Maine someday,
you
maybe.
You certainly should.
I will like to. I've never been there, so that would be a great place to be.
I'm biased, but it's gorgeous. But, you know,
this is a pretty amazing area too. This is gorgeous to look at. So
Well, tell us about this group that inspired you, and then you moved out here and shared this with Nathan, and then Yip was born.
Yeah. I moved out here in August, and I started at Meadow Creek Business Center in September. And very quickly I met Nathan, and it's literally just like he said. You know, he's like, I'm thinking about this young professionals group, and I said, let me tell you about Fusion in Bangor. And Fusion is a group of young professionals looking to not only better themselves through, you know, business and commerce, but to make a difference and to make an impact in the community, which is something that is paramount to this generation, is not only how am I going to do well for myself, but how are we going to do well for others. And and that's really how it all came about. Fusion has been around for a long time in Bangor. It is it's something that we shared with our sister city, St. John's, New Brunswick. And it's this great group, and it's just mostly about giving young people an opportunity not only to have a voice, to express whatever their issues are, but to do better for the community.
And to actually make a difference.
And so, to make a difference.
Right off the bat, the group gets together, and within the first meeting, this idea pops up. What's this idea? We're going to introduce it, but then we're going to come back and talk about it.
Sure. Well, in the first meeting, we sat down and we did a lot of brainstorming, and I think there was a lot of ideas tossed around, but we sort of decided to reconvene and hash through more ideas at the second time. And about an hour or two after I had left this original Young Issaquah Professionals meeting, I was forwarded an article about something known as a cash mob. And I started reading about it, and it looked like something that young people were really doing to help support local businesses. And it was a catchy name, and it was a catchy concept. And I think everybody's heard of a flash mob. And so as I started to investigate what this cash mob thing was, it was just all about mobbing a local business with shoppers and coordinating ahead of time. You show up at a predetermined date and time, and everybody shops, and it's just a good shot in the arm for a local business. And so I literally got this article after the meeting, and I turned around and emailed it to the group, and I said, hey, what about this? And I think it wasn't much more than a couple hours later, Audrey was running with it. I mean, we had plans in motion. So
there's not much discussion, I noticed, with this group. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the first cash mob that's coming up in less than a week. You're going to want to stay tuned. We're going to give you the details, and we're going to announce who's getting mobbed. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim on KKNW AM 1150. You can go your own way.
I'm Jerry Pearson, and with my wife, Michelle, we're local residents just like you who have a passion to help those who have been harmed or wronged in our communities. If you have a personal injury from a car crash or a property hazard, an industrial injury, a defective product, or nursing home neglect issue, the Pearson Law Firm can help you anywhere, anytime. Contact us today for a free case evaluation at 1-800-423-8473. The number again is 1-800-423-8473, or check us out at walkthetalkwithkim.com.
Accelerated weight loss, and everyone's a winner. You too can lose up to 30 pounds in 30 days. It's about science, not celebrities. No HCG, just award-winning science-based nutrition and natural botanicals. Join 10,000 satisfied clients. For information, contact myweightlosswellness@gmail.com and mention Walk the Talk with Kim.
Hello, this is Kim Ariano of Walk the Talk with Kim. The reality is staggering. South Africa has one of the highest incidences of HIV/AIDS in the world. This fact results in millions of orphans left in the care of other family members, friends, or fending for themselves in child-headed households. Focus on Itemba offers orphans and vulnerable children a new direction in life through loving foster care homes with committed parents and a real opportunity for a good education. Please consider sponsoring a child to receive the needed stability to change their world. Go to itembakids.org or follow the links from walkthetalkwithkim.com.
Do you wish you could train your brain to be more creative? ThinkShop can help. For 16 years, ThinkShop has trained individuals at Fortune 500 companies, small businesses, and nonprofits. Learn our proven process to think creatively and make great ideas happen. Our trainings are offered in person and online. Learn more at thinkshop.com.
Open your ears, open your heart, open your mind. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. I want to especially thank our new listening audience out in Bangor, Maine. Thank you so much for listening. We're getting some feedback that folks are tuning in. So we're bi-coastal now. The Walk the Talk with Kim show has just expanded. So welcome. We hope you guys keep listening and certainly call in. We'd love to talk with our friends out in Maine. I have a sneaking suspicion there's a lot more in common with our states than would think.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Beyond the Slade family, there's more. I mean, we're big deal, don't get me wrong, Slades, but
you know Stephen King. That's a big darn deal. More than I know. Who do we have here who's famous? I don't know. The guy who played in the Top Gun movies, Skerritt.
Yes.
Tom Skerritt. Yeah. Yes, we have Tom Skerritt.
That's pretty awesome.
And we have others.
We have others.
None come to mind just right off. But we have
lots. We can talk grunge now. We can talk the home of Soundgarden, Nirvana. You know, we can go on and on about that.
I was
going to
say, Dave Matthews.
That's true. That's true. And I did read a survey just this last week that said Seattle is the first of 10 in the hippest cities.
Of course we are.
Yeah. Well, it is. It's number one. I saw that it was with hipsters. Actually.
That's what it was.
It is
absolutely
the number one with hipsters because actually one of the things that made me laugh, one of my good friends back home, I found this article from him. He had posted it on his Facebook page saying that, you know, oh, I can't believe we're on this list, grr. And he's in Portland, Maine. And Portland, Maine actually was number 4 or 5.
Yeah, it was up there.
It was up there, and I told him, I was like, I don't even need to look at the article. I know we got number one. I know Seattle's there. So,
or at least Portland, Oregon's probably around there.
And that
there
was number two.
Yeah, I believe
it was number two.
Yeah. Have you gone to Portland yet?
I haven't. I haven't been to.
That's an experience.
You know, but I hear the dream of the 90s is alive in Portland. I hear that rumor, so I'm pretty excited
in more ways than one. I've never seen an area that is so diverse, and I don't mean, you know, like there's a lot. I mean, there's black and white. It's mm-hmm. there from political views to the way that you drive to how you feel about the environment. I mean, it is very stark contrast. I love going to Portland, but man, it's a trip. I have to wear a helmet when I drive down there because I get scared. Okay, we're talking Cash Mob today, and we're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim again, and we've got Nathan and Audrey here with the Issaquah Chamber of Commerce and the Young Issaquah Professionals. We didn't actually announce the group that formed. It's the Yips. I love it. The Yip group. It's Young Issaquah Professionals, which I love. That's a great name and a great idea and a great concept because it just says youth and young and rah-rah. And love that vibe. Mm-hmm. So the Cash Mob.
Mm-hmm.
You had this idea. It came out of Wisconsin or something like that, didn't it?
Yeah, you know, I can't remember off the top of my head. I was forwarded a couple different articles about different places that it happened, but we definitely saw that it was a phenomenon up and coming, and learned shortly thereafter that March 24th was National Cash Mob Day. So we,
I think we met on what the 20th.
We didn't have much time to get ready for that, but we wanted
but we
to make
thought
sure.
About it for a moment. I saw all of these young millennials in the group. Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah, then we had a dose of reality, and we had to make sure Audrey didn't run with the ball.
And thing is that I was about to, because I, you know, Nate had said, wow, it's the 24th. You think we, and I'm like, all right, here's how we can do this. And they probably were like, wait, no, let's be rational.
So we made our announcement on March 24th of our Cash Mob. So that was our contribution to National Cash Mob Day to get Issaquah ready.
Yes.
And let them know what was coming.
And
so.
it's coming, and it's going to happen on Monday.
Yeah.
So tell us the details.
Monday the 16th. At 11 a.m., we want to have a big group gathered together, and we will be meeting at a very cool local merchant, locally owned by two women who started this business in Gilman Village last fall, and they've just been awesome contributors to the Gilman Village area there, a very cool retail outlet mall, so we're happy to announce that Lucky You is the store we will be mobbing on Monday at 11 a.m. So we'd love to have any listeners out there join us and just come ready to shop. And it is a cool store. Audrey, have you been in the store?
I have now. I once I found out who we were going to be mobbing, I you know, of course I had to go in covertly because it's been on the download. This is actually the first announcement. This is it. This is our first announcing of
thank you for choosing the show, but
Yeah, so I had to go in and check it out, you know, new to Issaquah, new to the area. So I went and I love it. It's so much fun. There are so many wonderful little quirky things and beautiful things, and I thought my daughter was going to lose her mind, and it's really exciting.
And affordable,
and
too,
so
is what I heard.
And so affordable. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people, you know, affordable means a lot of different things, especially in this area. But, I mean, my daughter could afford to go in and buy some really cute things on her allowance. And, you know, I don't know if you've heard, but her mom is terribly mean and only gives her $5 a week and is a slave driver.
$5?
I know. See, I got $1 a week, and I was thrilled with that.
Yeah, that's all I pay my kids.
Okay.
If they're not listening to this episode of Walk the Talk, we're just going to
totally on the DL.
Take that out.
We'll gloss over that please? Point.
Yeah,
later.
Exactly. We'll put something else. We'll bleep that out. Well, that's great. And so this weekend, as Mike told us, it's supposed to be beautiful. And there's no better place to go shopping than Gilman Village. I mean, come on. If you haven't been to the Village in a while, there's a lot of really great stores. And Village has gone, you know, up and down over the years. And now it's up. And there's some really, really cool stores out there. So if you come on Monday... And it's supposed to be nice then, too, Monday at 11 o'clock, and we're going to be mobbing.
We'll be mobbing, and we do want to go ahead and make sure that we get a big push of people around that 11 o'clock time. We also understand, though, that some people have, you know, jobs and, you know, kids and things like that.
Those silly job working things.
Those jobs. But, you know, so we will be mobbing. We will be mobbing throughout the day. You know, the business is open, I think, until... But, you know, we really want to kind of show solidarity and really get out there during the day. So if you get a chance to come in, all we're asking is make a purchase. You know, we're kind of separating our cash mob from other ones a little bit. There's a couple of key things that we wanted to focus on. We learned a couple of lessons from Bangor, Maine. There's this great thing called the lunch mob that's been going on for a couple of years. Jabron, you should have coined that term. I'm just throwing that out there. You could be rich, Jabron. But anyway, what we did, what we discovered was that if people didn't get enough heads up, they maybe didn't have the proper amount of staffing and support. And one of the things that we wanted to do differently with our mob is to make sure that the businesses did have a couple of days headway so that they were able to properly staff and kind of get mentally prepared for it. So a couple of the ways that we're kind of doing things a little bit differently from your typical cash mob is that we are going to be announcing a couple of days ahead of time who the recipient is going to be and what time it's going to be. We're also saying just make a purchase. You know, economic times are tough. A lot of people say, go spend $20. Well, you know what? I think if you show up and you make a purchase and you participate, that's awesome. You know, just be there, be part of it, and that's huge. And the other thing that we're doing that I think is a little different than everybody else is that we have mob bosses. We have mob bosses with sweet t-shirts.
Very cool t-shirts. one of those times it's good to be a mob boss. You want to be known as a mob boss.
Mm-hmm. I kept telling these folks, since I'm the old lady in the group, that I wanted to be the godmother. I think that I'm just going to be a mob boss for this one. But in the future,
I'll share my fedora with you.
Well, I have my own.
Oh,
so
that's right.
We'll be wearing fedoras. Yeah.
You look so good. You need to go to the Young Issaquah Professionals Facebook page. Check out my awesome fedora.
Yes,
believe me.
Yeah. I saw it today.
I did honestly announce it to the entire group that I bought a fedora. Like, that was the whole point of that email.
So this is all fun, and we're going to have a really great time. But why? What's the message behind the cash mob? Why is this so important for the Young Issaquah professionals?
Well, I think, you know, one of the points of conversation when we first started talking was, what can we do that's significant, that really adds value? We didn't want to just come up with some other marketing or networking technique, but really what's going to add value. And I think what this does is it really gives a tangible shot in the arm to a local business. We can walk away saying we contributed X amount of dollars directly to that local merchant at a time when, you know, Monday at 11 a.m., they might not be really planning to do a whole lot of business at that time. So it's really a tangible shot in the arm to this business that we can be proud of. And I think it draws a lot of energy and out of the community. People can rally behind it and really get involved. And with the chamber in the past, we've done a lot of shop local campaigns, and we've done things where we're trying to promote local businesses. But this is a very visible and measurable way that we can actually achieve that goal.
That's excellent. So the idea is to maybe do it this once a month or once a quarter, or you guys are nodding like
a month. No, I think that ultimately we'd like to see this happen once a month, which of course means that as soon as we're done one, we're starting the next one. But, you know, there's a lot of things that we can do with that. You know, there's some businesses that maybe Monday isn't their best day. Maybe Wednesday in the evening is their time. And, you know, maybe there's people that, well, we just want to mob for 2 hours. You know, we can really tailor it to meet the needs of not only the retail business, but the community. Because a lot of people, maybe 11 o'clock on a Monday morning is a little bit tough, but boy, they could sure make a Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's got a lot of flexibility, and there's a lot of other themes that you can kind of do. Things that we can get excited about, you know, maybe have a theme one night, maybe have a, you know, a restaurant theme, or, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm. And I think the good part about it too is once people see it in action, then we can start building it, some anticipation to the next one. We'd like to see businesses lining up to say, hey, I'd love to be mobbed, or, you know, get involved themselves to help with mobs that are taking place so that they can be the recipient at some point in time. So it'd be a good reciprocal tool for them to take part in as well.
So you can get out there and help your community. Again, how do people get more information on where this is? And
Find us on our Facebook page. That is pretty much ground zero for us. You go to www.facebook.com/youngissaquah professionals. Like us. I mean, I'm not just saying that because we're awesome. I'm saying like us on Facebook because
please,
that's how you,
like please,
you like me. You really like me. But that's where you're going to find the information about us. That's where you're going to find who's going to be mobbed next. And, you know, this isn't just about the cash mob. The Young Issaquah Professionals is a group that we're looking to expand to not only add benefit and value to Young Issaquah Professionals, but to the community. And we're going to be doing that in a lot of different ways. The cash mob is just kind of our big coming out party. This is our big way to kind of say, here we are, this is what we're doing, and this is part of who, you know, we want to support. We want to support local business and make a difference. And it does go beyond just supporting the business that we're mobbing. You know, it gives an opportunity for, you know, we have Elements Therapeutic Massage, who's going to be coming and giving chair massages, you know, so they get exposure for their business. And
in case the mob gets too intense, people need a break.
They need a break. You got to take it down a little bit. Take it down a notch, guys.
Or the mob bosses.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I might be exhausted. I'm just saying, maybe I need a little chair massage. But
Kim, one of the things, too, to mention, and we've been talking about this, is we want people to understand that you don't have to be a young professional to take part in this.
Right.
The thing I've been telling people is you don't have to be young, you don't have to be professional, and you don't have to be in Issaquah to like us and take part in the mob. So we're definitely not an exclusive group. Come and join us.
Excellent. And again, that's Lucky You at Gilman Village. And we're going to post that and more information on the Young Issaquah Professional page. And you can link to that through Walk the Talk with Kim. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to wrap up a little bit on the cash mob. But then I have some questions for these two. Maybe get a little bit of insight on how our millennial generation sees businesses differently. It should be an interesting conversation. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim.
Hi, I'm Jerry Pearson, and since 1977, we at the Pearson Law Firm have guided individuals and their families through the legal process to seek justice and restitution in insurance disputes and personal injury claims. At the Pearson Law Firm, we work hard to secure justice in civil matters with a network of resources, a wealth of experience, and a compassionate attitude. That's the Pearson Promise. Contact us at 1-800-423-8473. That's 1-800-423-8473 for a free case evaluation. Or check us out at walkthetalkwithkim.com.
Remember the pink tow truck? It was a Seattle icon. But did you know the mastermind behind the marketing was also one of Seattle's successful entrepreneurs? Learn life lessons from Ed Lincoln by reading his new autobiography, Life Through the Rearview Mirror. Available at area bookstores and online, go to walkthetalkwithkim.com and click on the link.
Hi, I'm Jerry Pearson, and since 1977,
We at the Pearson Law Firm have guided individuals and their families through the legal process to seek justice and restitution in insurance disputes and personal injury claims. At the Pearson Law Firm, we work hard to secure justice in civil matters with a network of resources, a wealth of experience, and a compassionate attitude. That's the Pearson Promise. Contact us at 1-800-423-8473. That's 1-800-423-8473 for a free case evaluation. Or check us out at walkthetalkwithkim.com.
Have you heard the phrase, the beatings will continue until morale improves? To organizations, employees are the biggest assets and biggest fans. If they're not feeling heard or appreciated, the bottom line will suffer. For mission-driven organizations, the reliance on employees and managers to rally around the core messaging is critical for success. At Walk the Talk for Success, we provide leadership best practices, education, and communication strategies for mission-driven organizations. Whether you're a business of one, middle manager, or leader in a large company or nonprofit, our experiential workshops and focus on organizational psychology will assist you in achieving success with your messaging and vision. Call for a free consultation today, 425-888-9790, or check us out at www.walkthetalkwithkim.com. Walk the Talk for Success, achieving your message through understanding human behavior.
Alternative to what? Alternative to everything else out there on the radio, Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
To Walk the Talk with Kim. I'm Kim Ariano. And boy, these are older songs taking me back to the 70s when I was a little kid before these guys were even born, I'll bet.
Just for you.
Thanks. I appreciate that. Make me feel
now,
really
old. They were definitely ahead of me. But what do I know?
Yeah, you're just pulling it out. You've never heard these songs before, ever.
I also lie a lot.
Yeah, that's what I understand. It's your generation, right? The liars.
Yeah. Generational warfare.
Yeah, there you go. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about generation today because part of why I love working with the different generations is my vision and my perspective is corporate America is changing. America is changing. The world is changing. And we can either fight it, or we can embrace it and see what's going to happen next. And so part of what I focus on in my work that I do with organizational psychology and with systems thinking is to really kind of take a look at in a snapshot of what's actually happening in corporate America today. One of the perspectives, and again, this isn't all of it, but one of the perspectives is the different influences of the generations into corporate America and into business in general. And through my research, I was shocked with a research study that I found out of workforce.com, which is a human resource magazine. And they are predicting that by 2020, which is 8 years from now, that half of the workforce, that's 70 million Americans, will be independent contractors. Right now we're at 16. That's like a 437% increase in the amount of independent contractors. Now we can talk about why and all the different ramifications that we're going to have. But we can assume that there's really kind of two causes for that. Number one are the baby boomers leaving and coming back in a consultative kind of role. We're also seeing a lot of the baby boomer generation go back to school, and now they're kind of fulfilling, living their passion, doing things different, going to completely reinvent themselves because they're not ready to die yet.
You're right. And some of us just say, hey, it's time to do something different.
Yeah, why not?
Something
you
new.
Can.
Yeah.
I mean, you can. I mean, for the first time in history, you could do whatever you want. All the information is there equally to everybody right in front of you. The other piece of this that I'm thinking is that the millennial generation, from what I've seen, operates very differently in the corporate work environment. They like to be mentored. They like to have conversations, but they're always going to ask, why are you doing things that way when there's a lot easier way to do things? And if they hit a brick wall enough times, they don't care about this hierarchy structure or, not going over your boss's head. That doesn't matter. They're going to do it because that's how they make it happen.
Yeah. And the this is the way we've always done it response just doesn't cut it.
They don't hear it.
No.
No, because that's, you know, that's old thinking, and it's really irrelevant, I think, in a lot of different cases now, how we used to do things. So what does that do in a corporate environment, right? When you have these people that have spent generations and years acquiring skills and knowledge that may be obsolete. So there's going to be tension and there's going to be frustration. But I think we can learn a lot from this generation. And I think that they're open to learning too. It's not that they're closed. It's not that they're done. They want to learn. But we need to take a moment to listen. And so I'm giving the floor over today to my two co-hosts for the day, Nathan and Audrey. And let's talk about generational thought process that might be a little different that we can help enlighten our listeners with. You had made a comment, Nathan. You said, let me pull this up on my handy dandy iPad. See, I'm a Gen Xer. I'm
there
hip, right?
Yes.
You're a hipster.
I'm a hipster. We're number one for that. that you said that the millennials have a different perspective on business. Mm-hmm. What did you mean by that?
Well, a couple of different things, really. I think in a lot of what we talk about in the Young Professionals Group, at least initially when we were kind of figuring out what we want to be, we fleshed out some of our values and what we stand for. And I think younger people today in business realize the social responsibility that they have, that it's not all just about making money. Don't get me wrong, people still want to get paid. But I think we have a view that, you know, this is a tightly woven fabric. We're not all in a silo earning money. And our actions have consequences for other entities in the community, not just business, but residents or people in society. So I think there's a pretty strong awareness of that. The social responsibility in business is big from the people that I've spoken to. And I think you're right. The whole that's the way we've always done it sentiment really flies in the face of what this generation is looking at. You know, I think we're able to look at processes or products or services and just say, you know, why have we been doing it that way the whole time?
I use a visual analogy of, do we realize that in another 100 years, people will have to have PhDs or at least have some sort of education in order to read the Declaration of Independence because it's in cursive. Mm-hmm. And that you know, we think of, well, we have to learn cursive in school. And when you really sit down and think, why?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
To read old letters really is the only reason to know cursive, because there's no reason for that now. But we still teach our kids cursive handwriting, although it's not mandatory in a lot of states right now, but we still teach it. And that's an example, just a real stark example of business processes and things that we've known from the Industrial Revolution until now, that the millennial generation is going, well, why? And my generation, the older generations, are going, because you learn cursive in school.
Right.
Why wouldn't you want to learn cursive?
That's just what we do.
That's how it is. Right.
No need. We've lost our writer's bumps, too. Kids don't have their little writer's bumps anymore.
Oh, my gosh.
Interesting.
Yeah. Do you notice that?
All of a sudden, I'm looking at my writer's bump.
Yeah. Everybody, take a look at your writer's bump. The little callus that you have on you is probably gone for most of us.
The new callus is the worn out LOL buttons on, on your phones.
That's right.
Yeah. This carpal tunnel thing going on.
New problems for a new generation.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Kim, one of the other things, too, and I spend a lot of my time, as I mentioned, talking with business people in our community, and I average conversations, you know, 2 to 5 a day. With different business people, and a lot of them are younger, and they're getting involved. And one of the topics that I always pose to them, or the questions, is I say, well, what are you going to do to add value to your network? You know, you're coming out of college, you're you know, starting a career, maybe you're in sales. What are you doing out there to add value to the people that you want to be doing business with? And a lot of times I just get blank stares because I think a lot of times in that generation, we've always been given value by other people. We've been given those things. And then you get out into the workforce and you're like, wait, everybody's not just lining up to give me something.
Right. Mm-hmm. Let me go check their Facebook page and see how I add value.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of times they just look at you. And so I do a lot of talking with younger folks specifically about, what can you do to go out? You know, you want to work with this other person. You've identified a referral partner or a business partner. You want to work with them, but how do you go walking in the door warmly and get them to respect you? And what I've had to do in my career is learn how to walk in that door by adding value. It's not just, hey, I'm here, you should work with me because I'm neat. It's, hey, I'm here, I want to work with you, and here's what I've got. I've got a customer for you, or I've got a plan to get you more customers. And really looking at it from that standpoint. So I think that, you know, there's a lot that this generation brings to the table, but I think in that same vein, there's a lot that they're getting out into the world and just experiencing this, wow, you know, people aren't just out there to help me.
I learned something today. We had, you may know her, I can't remember her name, but she's with an organization called Artitudes in Issaquah.
Yep.
And she had put up the quote that give more in value to your clients and customers than you get cash from
them.
Love it. Which is an interesting concept. You know, how do you monetize what you do? You do it, I make X amount an hour. But how do you give more than what you get in cash? And I thought that was, to your point, kind of an interesting concept. And I think that this generation has, I think, a grip or a grasp on what that means intrinsically. But the execution may be a little bit more difficult than
that's a great point. The execution part, there's a lot of that. I understand the theory behind that, but how do I go ahead and make that happen? How do I tangibly do that? So that you're right. You've hit it on the head there.
So how do we do that? Let's solve that problem right now. Let's have an open mic moment.
And then we'll just, you know, take care of world peace. And then we'll go ahead and we'll get this whole economy thing nailed down. And
it's going to be
perfect. One of the things, and mind you, by even saying this statement, I'm going to kind of give away where I am on the spectrum of this generation. You know, the Gordon Gekko thought, you know, greed is good is very much a part of the past. It's not something that is a real value of this generation. This is a generation that not only looks to somebody to not necessarily lead, but mentor. You know, we're ready to lead. This generation wants to get out there. We want to be those independent contractors. We want to be the people that are making the difference. But we also understand that we don't know everything. We don't know how to do it. We don't know how to necessarily always add that value. And we're sponges. We're ready to learn. We want to get out there. We want to find out what we can do and how we can do it. And that's, I think, something that really... It really works for me with this generation is that there's not a lot of pretense of, well, I know everything. I know how to do this. Just leave me alone and I'm going to be fine on my own. We understand that we need each other. And part of needing each other is connecting with each other and understanding the value in that. The greed that I think that we have is the greed to, you know, connect with and make as many connections as we possibly can with other people. And note that I am saying other people, not other like-minded people, not other same age people, not other
Facebook friends.
Come like us. But we want to connect with people, everybody, because I think that this generation understands that there is something to learn from every generation that's come before us. Every situation that's been out there, there is something to learn from that, whether it's how to improve on it or to learn from mistakes or, you know, how to take that ball and run with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's a really exciting thing about us. Now, there is that little problem with a bit of the follow through that we were talking about, like how
the execution.
Yeah. Well, that's not necessarily a generational thing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. We're going to take a little break here, and when we come back, we're going to wrap up this conversation, this fascinating conversation with my co-host here today. Thank you for listening.
Does your organization crave new ideas? ThinkShop can help. For 16 years, ThinkShop has inspired creative thinking at Fortune 500 companies, small businesses, and nonprofits. We help you imagine new offerings, strategies, or ways of doing business. Our proven processes and engaging workshops deliver powerful results. Learn more at thinkshop.com.
Lose up to 30 pounds in 30 days and be that sexy Valentine again. We offer a rapid, effective, and safe program that transforms your health as fast as it transforms your body. For information, contact myweightlosstowellness@gmail.com and mention Walk the Talk with Kim.
Hi, I'm Jerry Pearson, and at our firm, whether we're working on an automobile crash case or helping a client who's been injured by a defective product, we focus on justice. We're passionate about serving our clients. Our successful approach focuses on the right issue at the right time with the best tools and expertise available. We focus on collaboration
and cooperation. Clients support that process, and they respect our abilities to manage the legal process, to demystify it, and to explain choices and opportunities, and also their responsibilities. Contact us at 1-800-423-8473 or PearsonLawFirm.com. That's P-E-A-R-S-O-N, LawFirm.com. Or you can check us out at WalkTheTalkWithKim.com.
Proud to bring variety to your radio dial. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Ziggy played for time, jiving us that we were voodoo.
You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. I can get my headset on my face. I can do it. I'm struggling a bit here today. I think I'm off because Eric's not here. We've got Mike in here, so I feel like I've got something to prove. I don't know. What is it?
Just a different vibe going on.
And maybe that's what it is.
Maybe it's the bumper music. Who knows?
It could be the 70s music, yeah. And, you know, I'm beginning.
But we're up into the 80s right now.
Are we in the 80s? Yeah. Oh, is this the 80s?
Yeah.
Well, that was David Bowie, right?
Yeah.
So
Ziggy Stardust. Yeah.
Well, that would have been the late 70s, right?
Yeah, it could have been early 80s.
And you think? Well, I'm sure you know.
No, I'm not sure I do.
Oh.
But I can find out.
Would you find out?
I'm thinking 70s. I'm thinking Ziggy Stardust was 70s because I'm thinking David Bowie. We're talking more Let's Dance in the 80s. But
yes. That's when he got the short hair and he actually looked like a guy. Ziggy Stardust, he was. But you might have missed that. Those few years, Mike.
Either way, it's Bowie. We're good. We're good.
I stand corrected. Wow. Yeah. It's early 70s.
Yeah, there you go. See? So the millennial wasn't even born yet.
Yeah.
You know. Look, I was technically in 79. I'm just throwing that. My parents raised me properly.
That's right. Well, that's what I hope. I heard to that point the other day, I heard my boy in his room, he's seven, he was humming Come As You Are, Nirvana.
Come very
as
nice.
You are in the
very
bedroom.
Nice.
Oh, yes. I've succeeded as a parent. Yes.
That's awesome.
Nathan, we were talking a little bit about value and how do you provide value, and you've got some ideas on providing value.
Yeah, you know, it's been an interesting thing because it's one of those topics where you say, okay, what are you going to do to provide value? And I told you I get the deer in the headlights, so then it's kind of my job to help them come up with a way to do that.
Let me tell you how you provide value.
I don't just like to leave them hanging and send them off, you know, and figure it out on your own, but a lot of what I talk to people about, especially in sales, when they're in a career where they have to do some selling, is we've got this resistance to doing it the way we've always done it. And a lot of that is like cold calling and just pounding the pavement.
Right.
And I usually encourage people to replace whatever they're doing in a cold aspect with find a warm way to do that. And what's a better way to call somebody up that you'd like to work with than to say, I've got business for you. I've got a customer for you. And that can be out of the box. You know, it doesn't have to be related to the industry you work in. You could be in life insurance and you could go down the street and find 10 businesses in town that could probably use another customer and go find that florist, somebody who needs flowers. Go find the baker, somebody that wants donuts for their party. Get out of the box and get out there. Nobody's going to turn you away. You can knock on a million doors, and if you can walk in and say, hey, I've got a customer for you, they're never going to turn you away.
That's a great tip. Mm-hmm. I hadn't even thought about that one. So yeah. That's your trick.
Well, yeah.
That's how you got
one of his many. One of his many.
It's giving and giving and giving and not anticipating a one-for-one. It's not, okay, I gave that to you, now where's mine? It's giving the referrals, giving a business and saying, hey, you know, maybe it'll come back to me at some point in time. But if not, I just helped that business owner get a new customer.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the most tangible and easy way for someone to walk in and say, hey, I'm providing value, not I'm dropping off my calendar or my Seahawks schedule or my pens, you know, which those are all neat.
Do you have a minute so that I can tell you how I can save you 50% on your?
It's never about you. It really is never about you and that in the adding of value in the networking. And that's, you know, what I try and teach a lot of people about when it comes to getting out there and getting started, especially as a young person. How do you gain that respect? And then the other thing I wanted to touch on briefly, and we mentioned it earlier, is this following of passion. And you mentioned a lot of baby boomers who are now reaching that point of saying, like, you know, I put in 30 years doing this, but I didn't love it. Now I want to go pursue that passion. I think younger generations now are kind of going, wait a minute. I'm not going to go put in 30 years the grind. I'm going to do what I'm passionate about now. And they'll follow it. They'll follow that passion to take them to success. And good, they're very less tolerant. You know, they might get into a job that they don't like.
They won't be as jaded when they're in their 40s.
Right. And they might get 2 years into it and go, you know, this has been neat, but I'm out. And so I think that's just indicative of the younger generations. You know, the passion comes first. Life is too short.
And I think that there's this one-dimensional, it's just my philosophy according to Kim, this one-dimensional view of work. Mm-hmm. That you have a life and then you have work. And you go to school, you put in hours, you know, go to your job, you work, you come home, then you have your life. And if you're living your passion, it's all integrated and it all feeds off of each other and it feels good and it's intrinsic. And I think what we run into, the concern we have is, well, if you're not staying with something or if you're not sticking with something, how do we become an expert? How do we grow? And I say, give me somebody who has been living their passion for 6 months and they know way more about their topic than somebody who's been doing something for 30 years.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Even if you just look at what happens. And we've talked about this on the show before about Maslow's learning curve, how you go from unconscious incompetence to conscious incompetence where you know nothing, right?
Right.
You know nothing. To that conscious competence where through learning and training and love of what you're doing in practice, you get really, really good. To that unconscious competence where you're not learning anymore.
Yep.
And you've lost the passion. You've lost the spark. And then what's the point? Because then everything changes on you. Mm-hmm. And the world is changing so dang fast now. I think that there's a lot we can learn from the younger generation. It's not too late for any of us.
No. You know, passion-wise, and in my generation, I'm going to brag on my husband for a moment, because he's somebody that I think that really epitomizes this generation and this, in that, you know, he went to school, he got an undergrad in electrical engineering. Then he went and got a master's in electrical engineering. Now, those are degrees that could get you a terrific job. And he came out of it and knew right away that, no, this doesn't get to me. This isn't what I really want. And so he decided at that point with an advanced degree that he was going to start over to be an oceanographer. And he did. And he went and he just finished his PhD in oceanography. You know, he did take the whole look of, yeah, you know what, I could spend 30 years being an electrical engineer and make a lot of money and then go get a boat and do whatever. Or I could just start living now. And you know, it's one of the most admirable things a trait that I see in so many people. And where I am at Meadow Creek Business Center, I'm literally around all these people that are just saying, I'm not waiting for my dream. I'm doing it now. And it's inspiring. And it gets...
We may have holes in our shoes, but
we're happy.
We love what we do.
We may drive an older, nice car.
Yes, indeed.
But we're
and
happy.
I just wanted to add this. I had put out on Twitter, I asked my Twitter friends, you know, how do you add values to others professionally? And my friend Lindsay, she responded saying, you know, offer constructive criticism and support, and positive support is what she said. If in a position of authority, grant means for professional development. And that comes right back to what we were saying before. We're a generation that we want that leadership. We want that knowledge. And, you know, there you go. How do you add value? You show somebody how to be better.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Yep.
That's pretty simple. And that's across all generations.
Absolutely.
Right? I want to talk a little bit about social media now that you brought it up in our last waning minutes. I had heard something at the same meeting we were in, and Audrey, you reminded me of it today. I had a millennial sit across and says, you know, I am so tired of people asking me to help them, meaning the older generations, to help them with their social media like I know it. You know, mm-hmm. like there's this assumption that because you're with a younger generation that you're an expert on all things electronic. Mm-hmm. That's not necessarily true.
Oh, no. No, I have plenty of friends that are like, oh, you use those Twitters? Oh, you know, no.
Yeah.
It's not something that necessarily automatically translates to that generation. It is something that this generation does use a lot, but for that matter, there's a lot of people of the other generations that use it a lot. It's a tool. It's mm-hmm. what you put into it. Yeah. It's how you use it. And
that's a great point.
Yeah.
It's a tool. And I think a lot of times, of all generations, people mistake the tool with the what can come out of it.
Absolutely.
I've shared this story before. I remember when my dad's office got their first fax machine in the early 90s and watching a fax come in from across the country.
I used to sell fax machines in the early 90s.
But it was that... the salespeople looked at that fax and thought, you know, I'm never going to have to travel anymore. I won't have to talk to
right.
anybody anymore. I don't have to go to meetings anymore. And it was just the tool. Yes, there were a lot of benefits, but we can't forget it can't replace the relationships. It can't replace value. And you don't really build trust with people
no.
until you know them.
Right.
And so I think that's just the key thing with this social media for all generations is don't mistake the tool for what you're really trying to get out of it and what it can do. It's interesting though to watch. I've seen some baby boomers and older people that are very good with social media mm-hmm. and, you know, iPads and texting and all that stuff. And I've seen some that have no clue, but, you know, they run successful businesses anyways because they build relationships and they're good at it.
That's the biggest thing about social media. It's all about relationships, you know, and building those. And, you know, I think what happens in that meeting, the person that was saying, you know, I just kind of get looked at like, okay, you go do social media. I think that part of it is that they just look, they're like, oh, you look like you're under 30. You should know how to make those Facebooks happen. Yeah. And, you know.
How can you get me more likes?
Yeah.
And what, 350 likes? That's not a lot. Yeah. Well, yeah, likes, actually it is because of good likes.
Right. And that's the thing. There's a big difference between, you know, quantity versus quality. And quality is all that matters. But in order to get that quality, you have to build a relationship. And it doesn't matter if you're 20 or if you're 80. It's a matter of building the relationship, and anybody can do it. Unfortunately, I think it's just something that people from another generation kind of look at it like, I don't know how to deal with that. You just go make it. Right. You go make it happen.
Thank you both for coming today. We are out of time,
thanks
if you can believe
us.
It.
Thank you very much.
Nathan, and thank you, Audrey. And go to the Young Issaquah Professionals Facebook page. You can also get that information on Walk the Talk with Kim and walkthetalkwithkim.com. We'll have information there as well. And don't forget to join us at 11 o'clock at Lucky You in Gilman Village in Issaquah at 11 a.m. on Monday the 16th. Thank you. And thank you so much for listening today. And again, a huge ahoy shout out. I don't know. What do they say in Bangor?
Hey, that's an affirmative.
All right.
You guys have a wicked good time out there.
Thank you for listening.